नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णकृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनि नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशपालिनि. Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 21, entitled The Movements of the Sun. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayam Kudiraye.
Tato Jayam Kudiraye.
Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiti. Begin by reading the chapter introduction. The Movements of the Sun, Chapter 21. This chapter informs us of the movements of the Sun. The Sun is not stationary, it is also moving like the other planets. The Sun's movements determine the duration of night and day. When the Sun travels north of the equator, it moves slowly during the day and very quickly at night, thus increasing the duration of the daytime and decreasing the duration of night. Similarly, when the Sun travels south of the equator, the exact opposite is true. The duration of the day decreases and the duration of night increases. When the Sun enters Karkata Rashi, Cancer, and then travels to Simha Rashi, Leo, and so on through Dhanu Rashi, Sagittarius, its course is called Dakshinayana, the southern way, and when the Sun enters Makara Rashi, Capricorn, and thereafter travels through Kumbha Rashi, Aquarius, and so on, through Mithuna Rashi, Gemini, its course is called Uttarayana, the northern way. When the Sun is in Mesha Rashi, Aries, and Tula Rashi, Libra, the duration of day and night are equal. On Manasottara mountain are the abodes of the four demigods. East of Sumeru mountain is Devadhani, where King Indra lives, and south of Sumeru is Samyamani, the abode of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. Similarly, west of Sumeru is Neen Lochani, the abode of Varuna, the demigod who controls the water, and north of Sumeru is Vibhavari, where the demigod of the moon lives. Sunrise, noon, sunset and midnight occur in all these places because of the movements of the sun. Diametrically opposite the place where the sunshine takes place and the sun is seen by human eyes, the sun will be setting and passing away from human vision. Similarly, the people residing diametrically opposite the point where it is midday will be experiencing midnight. The sun rises and sets with all the other planets headed by the moon and other luminaries. The entire Kala Chakra or wheel of time is established on the wheel of the sun's god's chariot. This wheel is known as Samvatsara. The seven horses pulling the chariot of the sun are known as Gayatri, Brihati, Ushnik, Jagati, Trishtup, Anushtup and Pankhi. They are harnessed by a demigod known as Arunadeva to a yoke 900,000 yojanas wide. Thus the chariot carries Adityadeva, the sun god. Always staying in the front of the sun god and offering their prayers are 60,000 sages known as Valihiyas. There are 14 Gandharvas, Apsaras and other demigods who are divided into seven parties and who perform ritualistic activities every month to worship the super soul through the sun god according to different names. Thus the sun god travels through the universe for a distance of 95,100,000 yojanas, 760,800,000 miles at a speed of 16,004 miles at every moment. Text 1.
Sun
Yoga,
Udagayana,
of passing to the northern side of the equator.
Of passing to the northern side of the equator.
Dakshinayanam.
Dakshinayanam.
Of passing to the southern side of the equator.
Of passing to the southern side of the equator.
Vaishuvataram.
Vaishuvataram.
Or of passing through the equator. Samyavidhi.
By different names.
Mandya.
Characterized by slowness.
Shigriya.
Swiftness.
Samanividhi.
By
equality. Gativihi.
By movement.
Arohana.
Of
rising. Avarohana.
Going down.
Samana.
Or
of staying in the middle.
Staneshu.
In positions.
Yatasvanam.
According to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Abhipadayamanaha.
Moving.
Makara
Adishu. Headed by the sign Makara Capricorn.
Rashishu.
In different signs.
Ahakratrani.
The days and nights.
Girga.
Long. Rashva.
Short.
Samanani.
Equal.
Vidathe.
Means.
Translation for four by divine grace, they see what we learn from Srila Prabhupada. In the midst of the region of outer space, Antariksha is the most opulent sun, the king of all the planets that emanate heat, such as the moon. By the influence of its radiation, the sun heats the universe and maintains its proper order. It also gives light to help all living entities see. While passing through the north, toward the south, or through the equator, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said to move slowly, swiftly, or moderately. According to its movements in rising above, going beneath, and passing through the equator, and correspondingly coming in touch with various signs of zodiac headed by Makara, Capricorn, days and nights are short, long, or equal to one another. Purport. Lord Brahma praised in his Brahma Samhita 5.52. Yachakshuresha savita sakala grahana raja samasta suramurti rashesha teja yasya nyaya bhavati samgata kala chakra govindamali purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. Although the sun is described as Bhagavan, the most powerful, and although it is actually the most powerful planet within the universe, it nevertheless has to carry out the order of Govinda, Krishna. The sun god cannot deviate even an inch from the orbit designated to him. Therefore, in every sphere of life, the supreme order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is carried out. The entire material nature carries out his orders. However, we foolishly see the activity of material nature without understanding the supreme order and the Supreme Person behind them. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Takshena Prakritihi, material nature carries out the orders of the Lord and thus everything is maintained in an orderly way. Umajnana Timirandasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshurunilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadampikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttar Tadakamalam
Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sanjeevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsta Shri Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabham Sute Devi Pranamami Harikye Vancha Vrakata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyathevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare
Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
I worship Govinda, the Brahmin of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. This is the Brahma Samhita 5.52, where the power of sun is being brought out and the power of the Supreme Lord, who is giving and empowering and investing his potency and controlling the sun. The glory of the Lord is also being brought out. Jyotisham Ravir Anshuman. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. That's how Krishna described his opulence. Adityanam Aham Vishnu. Jyotisham Ravir Anshuman. Marichi Marutam Asmi. Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. Of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of the lights, I am the radiant sun. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi. And among the stars, I am the moon. So this is how the Lord is maintaining the living entities who are rebellious towards Him. The mercy aspect of the Lord is seen how He enters the darkest part of the universe, which in itself was fully dark before he enters, as we saw in the previous chapter, the last few verses. Marthanda, because he enters and illuminates the universe. The sun god is called as Marthanda. We will look at the Brahma Samhita purport to 5.52 Brahma Samhita, where yet Chakshuru, the eye, the sun is considered as the eye, and he is the Raja Sahala Grahana, Raja of the Samasta Sura, Sura the demigods. Sahala Grahana, all the planets and the demigods. The sun god is considered as the king. And he has got infinite effulgence. Ashesha Teja. And he does his journey, Brahmati. And that is the Kala Chakra, the wheel of time. Now, the glory of the Lord is being brought out in terms of how such a powerful sun god, who has got unlimited effulgence, even he is performing his duty according to the order of the Supreme Lord, Govinda. It's out of the fear of the Lord that the sun rises, the wind blows, the fire burns. That's how Lord Kapila will explain to Mother Devahuti also. So each one, the demigod, is also a controller. But supreme controller is the Lord Ishvara Paramaha Krishna. Satchitananda Vigraham. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karma. So the purport to 5.52 Brahma Samhita goes as follows. Certain professors of the Vedic religion worship the sun as Brahman. The sun is one of the hierarchy of the five gods. Some people target in heat the source of this world and therefore designate the sun, the only location of heat, as the root cause of this world. Notwithstanding all that may be said to the contrary, the sun is after all only the presiding deity of the sphere of the sum total of all mundane heat, and hence is a god exercising delegative authority. The sun performs his specific function of service, certainly by the command of Govinda. So here, the potency and the potent being discussed. The sun, God, being one of the energies, the Lord, and the Shaktiman, who is behind the sun and who is ordering, giving the potency and delegating an orbit on which the sun performs his journey, that's the supreme law. If one does not see, or one misses to see that connection and separates the Lord from his energy, and such vision is called Bhinnadrik, it's a separated vision where you don't separate the Lord from his energy. That's in one sense, it is also demoniac, where you have that mentality of focusing on the energy of the Lord and not seeing the potent energy, potent form of the Lord. As said in this book, some people target in the heat the source of the world and therefore designate the sun as the only location of heat. And sun is the root cause of this world. So that mentality has to be given up. Now, through the movements of the sun, as explained in the purport to this verse and previous verses, and from the purports of the last few verses of the previous chapter, where the potency of the sun god, how he illuminates, it is the sunrise that induces us to start our work. The time which is like the powerful energy that is pushing us, Kala Chakra, that is based on sun, the position of the sun in the horizon, then starting from the sunrise, moving up to the horizon, and then setting up the sun. We observe all our activities are driven by the movement of the sun. We get inspiration, we are regulated, and there is some monitoring going on. All the potency is executed through the time factor, and that is based on the movements of the sun. When reading the word-to-word meaning, and then when reading the translation, we also see the effect of the heat and the light, the duration of the daytime, the duration of the night, and how when the sun is passing through the north or south or through the equator, then the days and night are short, long or equal respectively. So that's how the word Shigra, then Mandya, and Samani Vihi are there. What I wanted to touch upon today is the theme of the soul also moving based on the movements of the sun, and the soul changing the body as the day progresses. The famous verse we have, Ayu Harati by Kumsam, as every day goes by. We may celebrate birthdays, but actually we are moving close to our expiry date. If we do not glorify the Lord, every day the rising of the sun and the setting takes away the duration of the life of a person who does not glorify the Lord. Udyan ayukharati bhartamsa udyan hastam ca janmasau tasyato yakshanam nita uttam shloka bhakte. One who does not glorify or one who does not hear the glories of the Lord, his ayu, his harati, is being taken away. The soul itself is described as the sun which illuminates the entire body. And the body is the one that undergoes changes according to the movements of the sun. The soul as such is never affected by the time factor. Only the body undergoes changes. Body takes birth, and then we see in the second chapter as to how passing from youth to from childhood to youth to old age, and then finally at death, the body, the soul takes on another body. So this is the movement of the, in one sense we can say that the body is moving, the soul as an observer is watching, and then depending on the consciousness, depending on how well the consciousness is cultivated in this life, you get the other next body. So that's the movement of the soul. So what I'm going to speak is based on His Holiness Shivotra Swami's lecture on the Trishloki Gita. In the Trishloki Gita, in the 15th chapter, the Lord talks about the fallible and the infallible, Kshara and the Akshara. So Maharaj focuses on the process of how the fallible living entity moves towards the position of infallible. So this movement can be madhya, slow, or made shigra, or you can remain in a position where you are. And that's also an indication of how you want to move up to the higher realms, or stay in the same position, madhye, or go down. The choice is given. Now we are focusing on how the fallible living entity is trying to move from his fallible position to the infallible. Now for this movement to happen, we need to know the standard which is followed in the infallible world. That Krishna explains in the 14th chapter itself as to how to transcend the modes and reach that place, having gone and never come back, is there is a constant engagement in devotional service. So those who don't meet that standard are in a fallible position. And the same applies. So if that's how you came down, if you reverse it, if you do the reverse, if you engage fully towards the others, you can go back. So with that philosophical understanding and with that clarity and ease of mind, rather than analyzing how did I fall, the focus is, okay, this is the way out, let me move according to the movements of the sun. According to the scriptures, if I follow, then I can make that shift. Now what is preventing the living entities from moving is the inherent defects that the living entity is born with. We all know about that. The four defects. We all speak about it. But at least I can say I am overcome by most of them all the time. The fallible senses which are imperfect, because of which we get into delusion and commit mistakes. Despite making mistakes, we pose ourselves as experts and we have the cheating propensity. The other fallibility is the struggle with the mind. So the four defects and the struggle with the mind. Mana sastani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. So that is the defective state that we are in. And how do we get out of the defective state is by acquiring knowledge which is compared like Sun, Krishna, the Chaitanya Charitamrita said, Krishna Surya Samana. So the knowledge is coming from a source which is beyond these four defects, which is infallible, then the fallible living entity can move from its fallible position to infallible position. And that source of knowledge is the Vedic knowledge. Now we have the Vedic knowledge and the Vedic authorities, scholars, gurus, sadhus. Now we have to go and inquire from them. Now within the inquiry also, one has to make inquiries that are going to help him move up rather than stay in the same position. If you are inquiring about how do I best use the material energy to increase from what we call as one cell in the prison to another cell to another cell, which is a higher but still is a prison. If the inquiry is like that, then such inquiries are not useful. One has to inquire about the spiritual position of the living entity, the position of the Lord. Who am I? Why do I suffer? How can I end my suffering? And most importantly, what is my duty? It is the same mentality that was exhibited by Srila Sanatana Goswami when he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked these type of questions. So these type of questions will help us move from stuck in the material platform towards the infallible position. Now, during the struggle in this material world, the living entity does engage in various activities, but is still under the influence of the modes. Maharaj explains that the fallible living entity does fallible karma. He quotes the verse from the third chapter as to how the living entity is bewildered by the false ego, thinks that he is the doer. So such kind of mentality, doing activities in that mentality is called fallible karma. Fallible living entity, bewildered by false ego, thus fallible karma. As we know, this karma, jnana and bhakti. So what is the next is, the fallible living entity does engage in fallible jnana. That is when the Lord descends, thinking him to be a product of matter. His body is also material, and beyond him is the unborn, impersonal aspect that is supreme. And thinking that when the Lord descends, his body is matter, that is fallible jnana. That will not take you beyond this material world. As Prabhupada a lot of time explains, patanti ado, you fall down. So that path is also not to be taken. So fallible jiva should not do fallible, engage in fallible jnana, it should engage in infallible jnana. Next is the bhakti as described by Krishna himself as to how the living entity has bhakti towards the demigods. Yo yo yam yam tam bhaktya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender and to the demigods. Sarada being one of the major aspects of bhakti, Maharaj explains that that's also wrong focus. Even though you're doing bhakti, that's a fallible bhakti done towards the demigods. So that tendency to worship is there in the living entity, but it is missed there. So that is fallible bhakti. That path also should be avoided. Now, what is the correct path then? Has the Lord, who is all merciful, what is He giving, what system is He giving to help the living entity move from being in a fallible position to the infallible position? That is being explained by Lord Himself, where He says He gives the Varnashrama system to systematically elevate the consciousness and to make the living entity move up. The choice is given, but it's up to you how you want to move. So here, the living entities which are fallible, they can again be classified as being pious or being impious. Now, what is the difference is that the pious, even though they have material desires, they have material needs, they approach the Lord, they accept the authority of the Vedas and they approach the Lord. So that's why the four kind of pious people, even though they are in the fallible position, the spark inside them is that which can be fanned and taken to the next level, is that tendency to approach the Lord and accept His authority. Chaturvidha Bhajante Maam. So this Bhajante is a good starting point. This Bhajante is directed towards the Supreme Lord. And these pious people, they surrender to the Supreme Lord. And what does the Lord say if you surrender? He will take you away from these materialities. So therefore, the pious, because of their tendency to surrender to the Supreme Lord, they are progressing in the path from being fallible to being infallible. They are moving in the correct direction. And this is where, as devotees who are attempting to preach, we need to identify these kind of pious people and give knowledge, give the aspect of bhakti which will appeal to them and gradually help them move up. And that will accelerate shigram, that will accelerate their movement. Now, what is the path which needs to be completely avoided is the impious who are still in the fallible position, but they don't want to listen to the Lord. Their tendency, as we saw, is to separate the Lord from His energy, and they are attracted only towards the energy, and they think that's all in all. The mentality is being discussed in the 15th, 16th chapters as well. And in fact, 7th itself, Krishna will say about four kinds of people who do not surrender to Him. Is that 7th or 9th? 7th or 7th? 7th itself, he will say. Four kinds of people who do not surrender. So that mentality is something that needs to be avoided, as to movement is happening, but they are moving in the wrong direction. And that movement is also due to fear. Fear of personal form of the soul and personal form of the Lord. Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha. In that section, Prabhupada explains as to how each mentality is there. If there is too much attachment to material things, you will not go up. Materialistic attitude. That is raga. So then bhaya is, you are afraid of spiritual identity, of the soul and of the Lord. And that's why you try to avoid anything to do with material relationship. It's a problem, then spiritual world also, relationship should be problematic. So I will avoid having a form, having a relationship, and then so neither the living entity has a form nor the Lord has a form. It's all impersonal. That is due to fear of having a personality for the soul and for the Lord. The next is anger, vita raga, then bhaya. You are frustrated due to various through various spiritual attempts to liberate yourself. You are frustrated, and in that frustration you want to destroy, and that destruction has to happen through anger. Therefore, the philosophy of voidism, shunya. To make everything zero means you must destruct, and that destruction is through the mode of ignorance, so anger. And that's the voidistic philosophy. Impersonal philosophy is voidistic philosophy. So they degrade the soul, they move the soul in the opposite direction. Then you get more and more entangled in the banyan tree. And then you move, as we see that the sun illuminates different parts of the world, you can see where you're going, up or staying in the same place or moving up. So that path has to be avoided. Having discussed what has to be avoided, what has to be focused on, we will focus on more on how the pious reaches the infallible state. Now Krishna gives the purpose of creation, why the material world is created, why are the demigods sent, why are the living entities sent, so that you perform sacrifice. The whole purpose of Varnashram is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Samsiddhi Hari Toshana. Why are the resources given? Why are the demigods sent? Why? How does the Lord explain? Parasparam bhavayanto. So you perform sacrifice. You are receiving various resources. You use them in my service and through the agency of the demigods. So that's how we see in these chapters. The worship of the Lord is done through the potency of the Lord. Through fire, through water, through sun god. Parasparam bhavayanta, through that, the purpose of sacrifice is there. So that is what will make the living entity move from fallible position to infallible position. One has to perform yajna. Now these yajnas also are conditioned by the modes. The sacrifice that you do also has to be done with the proper consciousness. That's why Gita gives the classification of the yajnas, sacrifices, austerity also within the modes. And that is for us to make the right choice so that you can move quickly, shikram, from being in the fallible to the infallible. If you are having personal motivations and you are engaging in sacrifices, you are a pious person, you are accepting the authority of the Lord, your consciousness will change, but the change will take a long time. It is a gradual process. If you want to go the fast way, you have this consciousness that before even beginning the yajna, the result is for the Lord. The process is given by the Lord. I am doing it for His pleasure. And that will set you up in a proper consciousness so that your only aim is to please the Lord, and that is the without any motivation. And that gets you to the level of pure devotion. Whether you are in the midst of rivalities, heat, cold, honor, dishonor, happiness, distress, you are not worried about all of that. You are worried about pleasing the Lord. And that's the common set of qualities Krishna will explain from second chapter, third chapter, Sita, Ushma, Sukha, Dukkha. Leading up to third chapter, he says that not being disturbed by duality is one of the qualities that will make a person dear to him, which means you are moving closer and closer to pleasing the Lord. And when you do yajnas, without being affected by the modes, with only motive to please the Lord, then that takes you out of this birth and death. And that's how the 17th chapter, how the sacrifice has to be done by uttering the words Om Tat Sat. And here is where Maharaj gives the example of how the living entities were fallible, even though they are within the modes. Now that they have to aim at the location which is beyond this material world, he gives the mantra we chant when doing Bhuta Suddhi, Om Tat Vishnu Parama Padam. So we are looking at that place which is beyond this material modes. You are within the modes, no problem, but you aim your activities at the person who is beyond the modes and you perform with that intention. Your progress is accelerated if you do it. The specific example which Maharaj gives is that of how the Brahmanas chant the Gayatri Mantra. We'll go a little bit deeper into that also. Because the Brahma Gayatri is, which was discussed in the previous chapter purports towards the end of it, there is an activity and there is a consciousness in which you do the activity. So Maharaj emphasizes on doing the Gayatri three times. You understand the purpose behind it, who is the person that you are trying to meditate upon and why are you doing it. And that, if you do it with proper intention, that will help you move faster. And those who are not second initiated may wonder, what should I do? It is the same principle of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Why am I doing it? What is the purpose? What is the intention? You set the intention, you take the sankalpa, as Hesgar Gurjan Prabhu says in the Japa book, you set the sankalpa before you begin the round. That wherever my mind wanders, I'll bring it back. I'll focus on the sound, the pure vibration. Now, if that intention is set, and even during the middle of the japa, the mind wanders, as Prabhu explained, that sankalpa has to come in like a, that should be at the back of the mind and you should be able to bring it back, your thoughts. It's like a breeze that flows through. You should be able to, here is what did I do, what sankalpa I said, let me come back to it. So with the Gayatri mantra, the Brahma Gayatri especially, so Prabhupada partially puts the mantra in the purport. And that Brahma Gayatri is about meditating on the Divine Son who enthuses our meditation. So the three planetary systems are covered in that. We address the Lord through Om and then we meditate on the Divine Son. Now, how does it apply for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas? This section that I am speaking is from His Holiness Satchidananda Swami's Gayatri book. So Maharaj explains that the word Om is Pranavat Sarva Vedeshu. He systematically establishes how within the Gita Krishna explains that he is that Om. So Gauri Vaishnava should not think that Om is something less important and have an aversion towards Om. If one understands the significance of the Om, how it is connected to the Lord, then we can dwell deeper into the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra. So Prabhupada disciples in his early days, when they were given the Gayatri Mantra, they wrote to him and asked him that who is this son that we are supposed to meditate on? We are chanting Hare Krishna anyway, and Hare Krishna Mantra is superior. Who is the sun god Savita, and what's all this about? So Prabhupada replied, the meaning of the first mantra is, I meditate on the sun god who is maintaining the three worlds. Savitur is the name of the sun god, but the greatest Savitur is Krishna. Therefore, it is meditation on Krishna who is the master of all the cosmic manifestation. This is the Gauri Vaishnava understanding. When we are chanting Brahma Gayatri, whom do we focus on? Maharaj gives explanation from various other Goswamis. And he even quotes from the previous verse which was covered in the last chapter as to how the Lord enters, and it is His potency by which the sun is removing the darkness, and this sun is the Lord Himself. In another purport, this Savita is referred to as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Himself. So you can meditate upon Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the three worlds, Bhu, Bhuva, Swaha, represents the Patala, the Lord, Matya Loka, the Bhuvaha, and Swaha is the Swarga and all the planets above. So Satyananda Maharaj summarizes, after he gives a lot of references, he summarizes as follows. When doing Brahma Gayatri, this could be, and this is a proper meditation. By the mercy of goddesses Gayatri, Savitri and Saraswati, who are all the manifestations of Srimati Radharani, by that mercy of the three goddesses, they will reveal the divine effulgence of the Lord and His supreme abode, the supreme abode of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Let us therefore meditate on the Supreme Lord, His abode, His divine energy, consort Srimati Radharani. And I am the servant of the Lord who is seen in the circle of the sun, who is the origin and foundation of everything. And it is He who inspires all living entities to perform good and bad deeds according to their desires. So this is taking Gayatri meditation as one example, which is done three times a day. Even though we are within the modes, but you aim your activities at the Lord who is above the modes. So coming back to the main thread of how the fallible moves towards the infallible is your daily activities, which is regulated by the movements of the sun. If they are aimed at the Supreme Lord, done with the proper consciousness, with the intention to please the Lord, and that will accelerate your movement from being in a fallible position to the implantable position. Thereby, as we discussed earlier, Krishna Surya Sama. So the darkness in the heart of the devotee is driven away by the lamp of knowledge. Krishna himself promises it. And through that path of pure devotion, the fallible living entity can quickly move to the infallible position and thereby attain his ultimate goal. I'll conclude here and see if there are any comments, questions, corrections.
From moral goodness to Krishna
consciousness, where in the Bhagavad Gita does he say, the 14th chapter towards the end, Mamcheya Vyabhicharena, that is a very powerful verse where the transition and the path is given. 9th chapter, Mahatmanas Tumam Pastha, Daivim Prakriti Mashita, taking shelter of Daivim Prakriti, Chaturshloki Gita, and then the Sarvama Shloka, which is the ultimate Sarvadharma Parityajaya. So there are several verses which help us to move from fallible to infallible. But we may not look at the 15, the 3 Sloki in this angle, but with the help of Shrota Swami's, I can share that with Sri Krishna Prabhu and the whole thing can be under conversation. Thank you. Granthasana Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki.